You're listening to the English Express Radio Podcast. Visit us online at theenglishexpress.com, where audio files are available for download. You can write to the show by emailing us at info@theenglishexpress.com. If you'd like a full transcript, you'd better get a pen. All aboard the English Express. Good morning, passengers, and welcome to the English Express Radio Podcast. Cliff isn't able to join us today because he fell down a manhole, and we're currently suing PG&E for compensation to his injuries. So I'll be your host for today. Thank you for joining us.
Wait a second.
Oh, Cliff!
It seems like I heard your voice in the beginning part, and then you introed us in, and I fell down a manhole.
And you made it out okay. Welcome back to the show.
Well, thanks for joining us today. You can find us online, theenglishexpress.com. Write us online, emails, info@theenglishexpress.com. You can also find us on Facebook. I forget what our link is. But anyway, if you search the English Express podcast, you're going to find us.
I'm so glad you made it out of that manhole okay, because I truly had nothing prepared. Oh, so
do you know how you can find us on Facebook? You can go to the website, theenglishexpress.com, and there's like a little Facebook thing that you can connect to. So there you go.
Oh, you got all fancy with a hyperlink? Good job, Cliff.
It's been there for a while. Do you not visit our website?
What's the internet?
What's the internet? All right. Now, on Monday, what is Monday in America?
Martin Luther King Jr. Day.
Martin Luther King Jr. Day. It's also the day that Ivan the Terrible was crowned Tsar of Russia. Those who refused to perform at his coronation were executed. It was a different time.
Yeah, because there's been a lot of people refusing... refusing lately, and it would be a lot of dead celebrities.
Ivan the Terrible also went on to create his very own television program, Dancing with the Czars. Oops.
No, you were right the first time.
He beat out his brother Yuri the Pretty Bad too, but not as bad as Ivan, for the throne. The good thing about being known as Terrible, everyone expects you to be a lousy tipper. All right. It's also National Nothing Day in America. This event was first observed in 1973 and created by newspaperman Harold Pullman Coffin to provide Americans with one national day where they can just sit without celebrating, without observing, or without honoring anything.
And that's on the same day as Martin Luther King Jr. Day?
Yes.
What a dick.
I don't think it's official, because officially it is Martin Luther King Jr. Day. And that is every third Monday of January, where schools, federal post offices, all federal offices and banks across America close as we celebrate the birth, the life, and the dream of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And it's a time to remember his fight for freedom, equality, and dignity of all people and races. Now, to celebrate Martin Luther King Jr. Day, we're going to play Know Your King. Woo-hoo! Now, the way this is going to work, I'm going to describe something. I'm going to use some words. And it's going to describe an answer that contains the word king in honor of Martin Luther King Day. We're going to see how Brandon does.
I just want to comment, first off, now I really want to watch Card Sharks. Secondly, quick free plug for my favorite NPR podcast, which is Ask Me Another. And this is very similar to a game that they might play.
Really?
Yeah. Their games are structured very similar to this, where they'll have some wacky thing in their answer that you have to figure out, and it's different every time. So if you love trivia, check out Ask Me Another by NPR. Oh. NPR.
Not stimulating talk radio. All right. Third movie in a trilogy.
The third
movie in a trilogy has the word king in it. Come on.
Kingdom of the Crystal Butt.
No, it is Lord of the Rings, Return of the King.
Oh.
Okay, Michael Jackson's nickname.
The King of Pop.
Got one. Okay, a fast food franchise.
Burger King.
Okay, a horror novelist.
Stephen King.
Okay, let me mark that down. Good job. Blues guitarist.
B.B. King.
Doing good on this. Elvis Presley's nickname.
The King. That was a gimme.
Version of the Bible.
The King James Version.
Okay. A Disney movie turned stage play.
Lion King.
Very good. CNN interview host.
King James the Third.
Larry King.
Oh, I knew that one. Okay.
Animated TV show on Fox.
King of the Hill.
Very good. His tomb was discovered in 1922.
His tumor?
Tomb.
You know King Tut.
Very good.
I swear you said his tumor was discovered in 1922, and I was like, could they discover tumors in 1922?
And had Knights of the Round Table.
King Arthur.
Very good. You got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 right, 2 wrong.
Dang.
Not bad, my friend. Not bad. This concludes Know Your King. It wasn't a very long contest, but...
What did I win?
A pat on the back?
The answer was less than 100%, loser.
All right. Some facts about Martin Luther King Day, because as much as that jerk face who wants it to be Nothing Day, it is Martin Luther King Day. Now everybody knows who he is, right?
I think that's like the most racist holiday ever. Oh, you know what we should add to Martin Luther King Day? Nothing. What's a day this is to celebrate? Sit down and do nothing.
All right. So tell everyone who Martin Luther King is in general.
Well, Martin Luther King was the father of Martin Luther King Jr., who went on.
Martin Luther King Jr., you jerk face. I know who I'm talking about. The civil rights leader.
If that's who you were talking about, that's who you should have said instead of his father, right? I mean, think about it.
Come on, the famous one.
So he was a black rights advocate, and he was involved with, lots of different organizations that basically fought for equality and desegregation in our schools and our society.
Yeah. So he wanted basically blacks, African Americans, to have the same rights and to stop being discriminated against, to be able to have
to give a little context. There were quote unquote equal rights at the time in the 60s,
separate but equal.
In other words, you had to use a different door to go into the same restaurant. There was a black entrance around the back and a white entrance up front. There was the black drinking fountain that so conveniently had plumbing problems all the time. And then you had the white drinking fountain right next to it that worked perfectly.
And they had like angels singing. And it was like the sun came out and everybody was like, ah.
Cool water.
Yeah, and then when you got to the black one, it was. I like big butts, and I cannot.
No, that's not what it was.
No.
But this also extended to schools, and I think that's where to me the biggest problem was, that we were taking young black children and putting them into schools that were just as not managed as those drinking fountains that were falling apart. They didn't give them funding for education, for books, for teachers, and they had to struggle through that while the white kids got a perfect school, and it wasn't fair. And
no,
I think that's what Martin Luther King Jr. was fighting for, was that separate but equal is not equal, and we should have our children together instead of apart.
Yeah, and I think that's a good thing. My son learned about Martin Luther King Jr. in school, because he's on the calendar and everything, and they don't have school tomorrow. So he was a little confused. He thought that when I asked him who Martin Luther King Jr. was, he says he was a soldier in the Civil War. And
nope, he was not.
And he was a very brave soldier and fought a great battle. But unfortunately, he was shot on the battlefield and he's dead now.
Wrong, Jason. Try again.
And he says, so that's why we have Black Fried Monday off.
Awesome. Black Fry Monday.
Or it was like Black Fried King Monday or something like that. I don't know. He got it all confused. But I was like, okay, so a soldier in the war, the Civil War.
Which wasn't very civil. Don't let the name confuse
got
you.
Got his wires crossed a little bit. Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated when he was 39 in Memphis, Tennessee. He was there for a rally for increased wages for labor union members. He was on his at his hotel on the balcony when he was attacked and unfortunately was killed, which is why we.
This is usually the part that they skip over in school. How was he killed?
Gunshot.
Was it a gunshot?
Gunshot to the head. Yeah.
Did the guy approach from the room? How did he access?
No. He was on an alternate. He was on a different building.
Oh.
He was he did the sniper thing. So when he came out, when he walked out on his balcony, that was his opening. So yeah.
Yikes.
Ronald Reagan first made Martin Luther King Jr. Day into a federally recognized holiday in 1983. However, it wasn't recognized as a holiday in all 50 states until the year 2000.
Really?
Yeah. So it was a federal holiday, but not all states recognized it. Martin Luther King Jr., let me guess, it was probably like Mississippi and Alabama.
Well, I'm not going to go around doing geographical stereotypes. It wouldn't surprise me if some northern state like Wyoming or something, you know, got into it.
Maybe. I would be surprised, but it wouldn't be shocking entirely. Martin Luther King Jr. Day was the first federal holiday to recognize a private citizen who never held any office. In fact, this was one of the primary arguments against it, although popular support helped push it into law. Because most holidays are for people who affected the country politically. Makes sense.
Yeah.
So, but people really liked him. In fact, I could recommend if you have the opportunity, Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech is available on YouTube and they have English subtitles and it is a fantastic speech. Have you ever watched it from beginning to end?
I know that I have, but it was through the years of school. And I may actually, now that I mention it, I may have only heard it, like the audio of it.
I actually make a point of watching that speech probably once a year. And I have for a number of years. It's a great, great speech. Very inspiring. Very well spoken. I recommend it to the highest degree. You got to check it out.
Two comments. One, I'm really happy to have this day be a federally recognized holiday because it's something I forget about because, you know, racism isn't the number one thing on my mind as I go through my life. Right?
Racist.
So I don't think about seeing people of different colors around me. I live in Sacramento, which is one of the most diverse cities in the country. And so I see all kinds of different people around me. And because I grew up here, I don't think about that. Right. And so by it being a holiday, it gives me an opportunity to mention it to my children and talk about it. And my son shared that they got to hear the I Had a Dream speech. They played it for him in class. He's in third grade. And so we got to talk about, you know, integrating people of different color and having equality among races. And that's something that we don't get to share with each other very often. So I'm really happy that you know, this day gives us something to think about at that time. The other comment I wanted to make as far as him not impacting the world politically, like you said, people that get a day off or people who impacted the world politically, I just want to point to the curtails of our president who's leaving office and say, yeah, I think he affected the world politically.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. I mean, without Martin Luther King Jr., the movement that would allow a black person to hold a prominent public law office, let alone presidency, it would have probably been delayed quite a bit longer. I think it still would have happened, but I think it would have been longer.
Yeah. I think what they're talking about there is the fact that Martin Luther King didn't affect He affected political change, but not directly. He affected political change indirectly because he never held office. It was a very popular thing that he did, and he was recognized popularly.
All gotcha. Right?
So that's what they mean. However, now, do you remember when we used to actually go out and get people to sign petitions?
Yeah, I remember that.
The reason is in order to get something to be voted on, people have to support it. And the way you show the support is to get people to sign the petition to say, yeah, I think that we as American people should vote on this thing. Do you remember the threshold, what needed to happen in order to sign that petition? You had to be
a registered voter.
You had to be a registered voter. You had to include your
social security number?
No, but you did have to include your address.
Address. Yeah, that was the one.
Address, phone number, and your name. Okay. That's the way they were able to confirm that these people were legitimate registered voters. And that's why these online petitions are so ridiculous, because while they're saying, hey, pay attention to this item, they're not legitimate real petitions, because real petitions are signed by registered voters and are verifiable as such. So you can do them online, but when you just say, yeah, me, because otherwise you can have 6,000 people, or you 6,000 times, sign the petition. It's no way of verifying that that's a real signature.
But there are online petitions that can verify, right?
Oh, sure. Yeah, definitely. But you have to put all of that information on there so that it's verifiable.
Just to triple clarify a point that you made a minute and a half ago, there are valid online petitions, but there are many that also are not.
True.
Okay.
True. Over 6 million people, 6 million people in 1970 signed a petition given to Congress in an attempt to get the holiday recognized. This was,
holy moly,
and remains the largest petition in U.S. history.
Wow, 6. And this is at a time where there was no internet, no cell phone.
Yeah, and I just wanted to remind you of the threshold of a legitimate petition. 6 million people. That's incredible.
Yeah, that's unbelievable. Even in a time now where we could at least, you know, let people know that there's a petition going around a lot easier than they could, we still probably couldn't get 6 million people to agree on anything.
Guess what? I found the state that only recognized Martin Luther King Jr. Day in 2000.
Which one?
South Carolina first recognized Martin Luther King Jr. Day as an official holiday in 2000 with paid leave for all state employees. Before 2000, state employees could choose to either take Martin Luther King Day off or one of three Confederate holidays.
Yikes.
Still surprised?
I'm shocked. Oh, I fell out of my seat from my just pure disbelief at that comment.
So they still gave them the holiday, but if you disagreed with Martin Luther King Day, let me just take a Confederate holiday off.
Jeez. Separate but equal.
Martin Luther King Day is also celebrated in Hiroshima, Japan, where the mayor holds a dinner at the mayor's office to celebrate the city's calls for peace with Martin Luther King Jr.'s human rights beliefs. So even Japan, in Hiroshima, they side with him. Toronto, Canada, also celebrates MLK Day. Martin Luther King Jr. was also awarded a Nobel Peace Prize in 1964, the youngest person in history to ever have won that prize. And deservedly so, by the way. There's another black man recently who got the Nobel Peace Prize, even though he didn't do crap to deserve it at all. Did nothing. Got the Nobel Peace Prize. That was garbage. Martin Luther King Jr. deserved it.
Was it Neil deGrasse Tyson?
No. President. Soon to be former president. 5 days. Martin Luther King also helped lead the Montgomery bus boycott. Another person made famous during due to the bus boycott was Rosa Parks.
Rosa Parks.
Extends, and she, of course, is, I ain't sitting in the back. I'm tired. No, no. She was like, wasn't she? There was no sitting room, and they asked her to move, but it was like standing room only, and she was tired, and she was like, you know what? No, I'm not.
Yeah, I may be mixing folklore. Like, there's been misreporting on so many different things. Like, a lot of people put her up on the pedestal as like a big civil rights leader or whatever. But I think there was she herself came out and said something like, "I wasn't trying to start nothing. My feet just hurt."
That's true. But you have to remember that during this time, there was a certain atmosphere, and among the Black community, these types of things were like being encouraged. And she obviously had like thoughts in her brain, like, you know what, I'm just going to sit here. But part of the impetus for her staying in her seat was, I'm tired. Because think about it, if you're not tired, if you're like feeling in full health and you're just fine, you might not want to start something that day at that time. You know what I mean? And so she chose to like dig her heels in and stand her ground in this time. Partly because she was tired. I'm sure she wasn't trying to become famous, and she wasn't trying to start like what she started, but her beliefs at the time certainly had something in, you know, to part, you know, going into that. Because she wouldn't have done that in the 40s.
You know what confuses me is, and this happens today with I think, crime stories, right? Like stories that happen to people in general. What made Rosa Parks' story different from the other stories that happened at the time of Black people standing up for their rights, digging their heels in, and those don't get reported. No movement gets happened behind them. Like, I'm sure there's probably tons of stories where a Black man stood up for his rights, got killed, and we never even heard his name.
I'm sure that happened. Yeah.
And so why did that happen around the same time, but the story of a woman on a bus becomes the movement everybody gets behind?
And
the reason I equate that as to crime stories today is, what makes a story worthy of national attention when there's, you know, dozens and dozens of similar stories that happen that never even make it past local news? I don't understand what makes one thing escalate in people's minds and others go by the wayside. Who picks and chooses it? I don't get it.
And nobody knows JonBenet Ramsey.
Hashtag.
I always forget the hashtag. All right. King was Time Magazine's Man of the Year in 1963. He never graduated high school, though. He went straight into college, graduating with a bachelor's at the age of 19.
Yeah, school's not a place for smart people.
After his assassination, Martin Luther King was in Atlanta, Georgia, which was his hometown. His gravesite is now part of the National Historic Site called the Martin Luther King Jr. National Historic Site. Very creative.
What do you think is there? No, have you ever driven in Atlanta?
I have, yes.
God, the traffic there is terrible.
But they do have Chick-fil-A, the world's first Chick-fil-A, which was fantastic. My first experience with Chick-fil-A was at the world's first Chick-fil-A sandwich place.
And how the stars aligned for you.
Delicious. Martin Luther King Jr.'s tombstone has the phrase, "Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last," engraved on it. So at least nobody is ignoring the fact that those things happened and pretending that they didn't.
Besides its beautiful historic architecture, Munich was the home of many great writers such as Thomas Mann. You'll find more on Germany's contribution to the arts in the pamphlet we have provided.
Yeah, about your pamphlet, I'm not seeing anything about German history between 1939 and 1945. There's just a big gap.
Everyone was on vacation! On your left is Munich's first city hall, erected in 15...
Wait, what are you talking about? Germany invaded Poland in 1939, and...
We were invited! Punch was served! Check was Poland!
Well, you can't just ignore those years. Thomas Mann fled to America because of Nazism's stranglehold on Germany.
Nope. He left to manage a Dairy Queen.
A Dairy Queen? That's preposterous.
I will hear no more insinuations about the German people! Nothing bad happened! Sie werden sich hinsetzen! Sie werden ruhig sein! Sie werden nicht beleidigen Deutschland!
Is that a beer hall?
Oh, yes. Munich is renowned for its historic beer halls.
All right. We'll be back with more here on the English Express Radio Podcast right after this.
You're listening to the English Express Radio Podcast. Don't like it? Try it with mustard.
Hi, I'm Cliff from the English Express Radio Podcast. If you need help with an art or video project, we know somebody who's got the proven experience to make any project come to life. Visit facebook.com/TaraFoxTheArtist and take a look at some of her art, film, and video work and graphic design. Years of experience mean she can capture your vision and produce the perfection you're looking for. So market your stuff the right way and visit facebook.com/TaraFoxTheArtist. Hi, this is Cliff.
And this is Brandon.
And this is the English Express Radio Podcast, the greatest podcast ever produced.
Whoa, wait a minute. What?
What do you mean?
I'm pretty sure we're not the greatest podcast ever produced. I mean, have you heard of Serial?
No.
Cracked Podcast?
No.
Surprisingly Awesome?
No. Okay. The English Express Radio Podcast, the greatest podcast ever produced that I have actually listened to. Visit us online at theenglishexpress.com and tell your friends to download a few shows because, apparently we need it.
Well, yeah, if you ever want to measure up with podcasts that are actually good, like The Bugle with John Oliver or WTF with Mark Maron. This is the English Express, broadcasting from a room about the size of your closet, except we've got more expensive junk. All aboard the English Express.
Welcome back to the English Express Radio Podcast with Cliff and Brandon. And I got a mouse problem.
Like Mickey?
Nope. A serious mouse problem. My mouse problem is super big. Supposed to ask how big is it?
How big is your mouse problem? I think it might be a rat, Cliff.
Well, the mice are telling all their friends they have a people problem.
I don't get it.
There's so many mice, they're telling their friends they have a people problem. Never mind. Two of the mice just exchanged gang signs.
Uh-oh.
The mouse traps that I
cheese down.
The mouse traps that I set downstairs, they keep ending up in my bed somehow.
Crafty buggers.
Very crafty. This is the third time this week I found the cat tied up and gagged.
Oh dang.
Someone keeps writing cheese, damn it, on the grocery list. Yeah, got a mouse problem.
Peanut butter jelly time.
All right. Would you be okay if everywhere you walked, you left a trail of swastikas in your wake?
Jeez, no. That'd be awful. I would go nowhere. Holy moly.
Well, that's what happened to a Reddit user who noticed his polar fox boots from Konal International Trading actually left a trail of swastikas in his footprints thanks to some very oddly shaped dreads. The company said that this phenomenon was completely unintentional.
Oh, sure.
And they are now pulling the boots from stores. One German magazine did observe that, strangely, Polar Fox was the name given to a German operation to take a Soviet town during World War II. In a statement, Konal International has called the design an obvious mistake made by our manufacturers in China, and says the boots will be removed from shelves.
Awesome.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, I actually should have played my World War II denial at this point, but I already shot my load, so...
Oh, wow. Lucky Cliff.
Let's do a North Dakota one instead.
Hi. Do you like South Dakota but don't want to see Mount Rushmore? Come to North Dakota. It's just a very long drive from wherever you live. Best of all, most of the good license plates aren't taken yet. Imagine coming here and having cool dude, or yay Jews, or boo Jews, depending on where you stand on Jews. North Dakota, we're not even the best Dakota.
Since I already used the other one, I don't want to do it again.
Yeah, you don't want to be a one-trick pony or anything.
Now, did you see this on the news, the guy with the pennies?
Did he have them in a sock?
No. So this guy was having some serious problems with the DMV. Nick Stafford of Cedar Bluff, Virginia. And he's been, come on, you know trying to deal with the DMV and government officials, he has spent months butting heads with these guys. It all started in September, a couple months ago, when he tried to call the DMV with what he calls a 30-second question, which is just an inquiry about how to register his brand new car. But he reached a call center in Richmond, was put on hold for more than an hour. Then he got a number for the Lebanon DMV through the Freedom of Information Act request.
Wait. Isn't Lebanon a different country?
Yes.
No, I need the American DMV.
Okay, so he was told that this phone number was not for public use, but he called it anyway. Employees eventually answered his question, but they wouldn't give up the numbers to 9 other local DMVs. So, I see. It was like he was trying to get the local DMV. Maybe Lebanon is like a city in Virginia. All right. So he was trying to get he kept getting routed to call centers, and he was trying. He goes, no, I want to call the call. I want to call the actual office. And he couldn't get the numbers to the 9 other DMVs in his city.
I'm smelling old people on this one.
Oh, yeah.
This guy's an old guy. Go to Google, man. DMV.com.
He sued him to get the numbers. The judge threw that case out of court, but he somehow found the numbers, and he's posted them online. And all this because they just wouldn't tell him the steps to register his vehicle. So, he says, if they were going to inconvenience me, then I'm going to inconvenience them. This will really sound old. He went down to pay his $2,987 in sales tax for his two cars, because you got to pay sales tax.
Wait, how much?
$2,987. He bought two brand new cars, and he has to pay sales tax. So he did it in all pennies.
Old people are the worst.
Five wheelbarrows full of pennies. He bought the wheelbarrows for $400 and paid 11 people at $10 an hour to break open rolls of pennies.
Oh my God.
For 4 hours, meaning this scheme cost him an additional $840.
Wow.
But he made the DMV workers count the pennies. 12 hours. The entire office counted pennies for 12 hours, which jammed a coin counting machine. But Stafford did say, considering such an enormous task, they were surprisingly respectful and accommodating. This is, not only is this old people joy, this is a bureaucratic joy, because they love doing tedious, meaningless things.
Right, and you know what this means is that everybody else that they were supposed to be helping had to sit in DMV or have their appointments canceled, which made the clerks even more ecstatic.
Oh, yeah.
But they love that kind of stuff. People, they love making you feel bad.
Exactly. So,
thanks for giving them what they wanted.
Yeah, you didn't help anybody.
And you know, he also made the bank tellers that had to distribute those rolls of pennies to him. They had to go count all that and make special orders. Those pennies, I'm sure, had to be delivered. He probably had to make that order beforehand. Truck drivers had to load all those pennies. This guy.
Hey, they inconvenienced him. He's going to inconvenience everyone else.
That is the worst.
74-year-old Massachusetts woman has a sister. 67-year-old Hope Wheaton. Okay.
A young one.
So that's 7 years difference. Just like us. Okay. Uh-huh. Now, they live together in a $1.2 million house in Brookline, okay? And they've lived there for a long, long time, okay?
Creepy old ladies with a doll collection.
Well,
I can already tell.
In December, a cousin came by to help take out the trash and found something very odd. The 67-year-old sister...
Oh, don't.
Dead under the table. Waldman, the 74-year-old... had no idea her sister was dead and had to be informed by police. Waldman said her sister would often fall and was unable to get up, so she would help nurse her back to health. Nurse her back to health with fudgesicles and water.
Oh, God, come on.
But the 67-year-old Wheaton failed to get better after a fall in July of 2015. So police are waiting on results of an autopsy, but they don't suspect foul play. You know how long they lived together? She's been dead for the last 18 months.
Ew.
And she had no idea.
Oh my God. Whoa. The smell.
Where's my sister? Well, I guess she already had breakfast.
Oh no.
Well, I haven't seen her in a while.
For a year and a half. And you said her body was in the house?
Yep, they lived together. It's a $1.2 million house. So she goes, oh, I guess she's just in her bedroom.
Ew.
Officials described the house as falling apart and in complete disarray. The front of the house was boarded up, and some of the neighbors were unaware that anyone lived there at all.
Wow.
So, no evidence of wrongdoing. She just...
Never saw
her dead sister. Thought she was doing something else.
That's disgusting.
All right, that'll do it for us this week. Thanks for joining us. Check us out online, theenglishexpress.com. See you guys next week.